And welcome to The Extra on this last day of USAA Military Week. And thanks to our sponsors, USAA, and all of our guests that have come on this week. And joining us today, Mayor John Southers. Good morning, Mayor.
Good morning, Renee. And my thanks also to USAA for sponsoring this Military Week.
Yeah.
You know, the military is such a big part of our community. This is the week before Memorial Day. I can't think of a better way to celebrate the military presence than have a military week.
Absolutely. And that's why I wanted to have you on, Mayor, is because you too are a native, correct, of Colorado Springs.
I am.
And you were telling me before we came on the it's a great story of how you and your family came to Colorado Springs, and it's because of the military.
That's exactly right. My story is, I think, pretty similar to an awful lot of people as to how they got to Colorado Springs. My father lived in Detroit. My mother and father had gotten married in 1936. The day after Pearl Harbor, he enlisted. He was so motivated by the events of Pearl Harbor that he, like so many other hundreds of thousands of Americans, went down the day after Pearl Harbor and enlisted.
Right.
He got a notice in the mail a couple months later to show up at Camp Carson, Colorado, which, keep in mind, wasn't constructed until after Pearl Harbor. It was started about January 1st, I believe.
Wow.
And he was supposed to report early to mid-February. He took a troop train from Chicago and wound up getting off at the Rio Grande Station, which is still here, down on Sierra Madre, took a bus out to Camp Carson. It was the first time he'd ever been west of the Mississippi.
Wow.
And he started training there for the invasion of North Africa. He soon called my mother back in Detroit and said, "This is the most beautiful place I've ever been. I can't believe how beautiful it is. You need to get out here and take a look at it before I ship off to North Africa."
Right.
And she did. She came out for a couple of weeks. She stayed at the Buffalo Lodge,
which is still there. Yeah.
And they made a deal. They drove around I've got photographs on the Gold Camp Road and all that kind of stuff. And they made a deal between themselves that if he survived the war, they would move to Colorado Springs. He was with Patton in North Africa and then went over to Sicily and up the Italian boot. Wound up in early 45, I think, contracting tuberculosis and got sent to Fitzsimmons in Denver to recover. But sure enough, as soon as he recovered, my mom and he moved to Colorado Springs, and he set up a dental practice here in the Burns Building.
Wow.
In 1946. I still have the phone book. He was one of seven dentists in Colorado Springs, and they adopted my sister in 1946 and adopted me in 1951. And that's how I got to Colorado Springs.
That's incredible. And like you said, Mayor, I mean, so many families are here because of the military. That's
because
how
of stories very similar
yes,
to that. That's exactly
how
right.
Integral all of the military installations play here. And of course, growing up here, Mayor, you've seen all the changes and, you know, even the possibility of some of those installations closing down. We've gone through that with Fort Carson a couple of times. And that's why I thought it was so important to have you on the show today. And also, there's a different layer, isn't there? I mean, being a mayor is one, it's a big job, a hard job, but then coming in and being a mayor with all this military presence and maintaining those relationships, I'm sure adds an entirely different layer to everything, doesn't it?
It does, but we work very hard at it.
Yeah.
And historically, Colorado Springs has provided great support to the military. We're very proud to be, a great American defense community, one of, a handful of communities that are designated for what great support they give to the military. But let me, we've now got five military bases. It started with Fort Carson, then, of course, the Air Academy in I think Peterson Field was before that.
Okay.
There was, actually it was Int Air Force Base to be.
Was it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Int Air Force Base, which is now where the Training Academy was. Peterson Air Force Base replaced that. And then, of course, we've developed Schriever. Cheyenne Mountain. So we've got five military installations, but those installations host many commands. And let me run through some of the commands.
Yeah.
The North American Aerospace Defense Command, U.S. Northern Command, Air Force Space Command, U.S. Army Space and Missile Defense Command, Army Strategic, which is also known as Army Strategic Command, Missile Defense Integrated Operations Center, Joint Functional Component Command Integrated Missile Defense.
Wow.
The 310th Space Wing, the 302nd Air Wing, and of course the 4th Infantry Division at the Air Force Academy. And of course, we're training all the future leaders of the Air Force at the United States Air Force Academy.
And then, of course, it was just announced that another 800 soldiers are going to be coming. It sounds like it's a new brigade, if you will, if I'm saying that
well,
right.
Well, yeah, what we've got, the Department of the Army announced May 18th the stationing of a new 4th Security 4th Assistance Brigade at Fort Carson. These are specialized units whose core mission is to conduct, advise, and assist operations with allied and partner nations. That's going to bring another 800 soldiers to Fort Carson. Right now, Renee, we've got 38,500 active duty soldiers and airmen in Colorado Springs, and I think that's pretty close to as high as it was in the Vietnam era.
Wow.
And the prospects are pretty good. You know, there's an issue going on at Carson where the Army is phasing out an infantry brigade, going to create a new armored brigade. And we're trying hard to become that armored brigade because 4,000 soldiers are going to be transitioned out of the infantry brigade, and we want to keep those 4,000 soldiers in the new armored brigade.
So what role does the city play, Mayor, when it comes to, okay, so 4,000 soldiers may be phased out and moved. So I know you have a special, isn't there a special department within the city that strictly works with the military in our area?
Well, it's really the mayor's office. Yeah. I have a special assistant, Katie Lally, a part-time employee of the mayor's office, whose job it is to liaison with the military. There's an awful lot of military functions. I try to go to as many the major command transitions and things like that as I can. But I sometimes there's a lot of things I can't go to, and Katie always covers for me.
Right.
And she, she's always in contact with the military bases to see what they need. We've coordinated very carefully with the Air Force Academy for the Warrior Games that are starting next week. And by the way, I want to urge everyone in the Pikes Peak region to get out there and support our Wounded Warriors. It's June 1st through 9th, I believe, at the Air Force Academy. The opening ceremonies, I think, are Saturday night. Right, at the Falcon Stadium.
Yeah.
So please get out there and support our Wounded Warriors.
And we're going to have to take a quick break, Mayor, but when we come back, the numbers for the Colorado Springs economy, they're amazing, and how important, again, our military is to us in this community. We'll have more with Mayor John Southers next on The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Welcome back to The Extra on KRDO News Radio. It is USAA Military Week, and joining us for our last day of Military Week is Mayor John Southers. And we've been talking about, Mayor, how important the military, the five military installations are to our city, to our community. And you also have some numbers as well as how much they support our economy. Like you were saying, there was, 38,000?
38,500 active duty. And then think about all the family members.
Right.
In addition to that, it's a huge part of our economy. When we were coming out of the recession, it was estimated that the military and the contractors that serve the military were 50% of our economy, about 33% direct payroll and 17% government contracting. With the tremendous boom in the economy over the last a couple of years, I suspect it's probably somewhere between 40 to 45% of our economy at the present time. But the best estimate, Renee, is that the Department of Defense and related aerospace and defense companies contribute $13 billion,
wow,
billion with a B, dollars annually to our local economy. So it's a big part of who we are and what we do.
And, of course, you being a native and me being a native, Mayor, we've gone through where, okay, there might be, the Department of Army, let's just use Fort Carson. Well, okay, they might be shutting down Fort Carson. And that truly would be a huge, obviously, $13 billion annually, huge impact to our economy.
Yes, to lose any of our major installations,
correct,
would be huge. And we, obviously, in the city and the county and other surrounding areas, we work very diligently to make sure we posture ourselves as best as possible to avoid any kind of BRAC.
Right.
The chamber makes an annual trek back to Washington, D.C. in September, and we typically spend a half day with the Army, half day with the Air Force and the very top echelons, you know, making the case for Colorado Springs. And, of course, when any issue comes up, we jump all over it, including this armored brigade issue.
Right.
We've got every single Colorado legislator on the federal level weighed in support.
Okay.
And frankly, that's a little bit unusual. Sometimes we don't get the attention of some of the Denver Democrats, but they're all weighed in on this one about how important it is to have this armored brigade at Fort Carson. I've you know, corresponded with the Secretary of the Army, and as have many others. And we're optimistic. To move it someplace else would be pretty expensive. And there's just, when you consider the civilian support for the military in Colorado Springs, we make a pretty compelling case. You know, let me just give you some examples. We have 80 nonprofits in Colorado Springs which exist for the purpose of giving support to active duty military, their families, and our veterans. Because keep in mind, you know, almost 30% of everybody that's ever stationed in Colorado Springs winds up retiring here. Let me repeat that.
Yeah.
30% of anybody of the military folks who are ever stationed here wind up retiring here. So we have about 98,000 veterans in El Paso County. So these nonprofits, you know, whether it be the Mount Carmel Center for Excellence, you know, there's just tons and tons of them.
Yeah. Crawford House. I mean, we could just list so many of them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Homefront Cares.
Yes.
It goes on and on. And so I think we make a really compelling case. And I'm pretty optimistic about the near and intermediate term future that the military presence is going to grow in Colorado Springs.
And that's what I was going to ask you about next. You feel pretty confident that we could see it expand.
I really do.
Yeah.
We're expanding this new 800-person brigade. Schriever just got an additional 150 personnel transferred from California. I feel very good about the future. One of the other things I want, in terms of military support, we're working very hard to help military spouses. And think about this, Renee. Whether a person stays in the military or not, it's hard enough for anybody to live on a single income these days, in this day and age, and that's true in the military.
Yeah. Yeah.
And one of the factors in deciding, you know, to take an assignment or whether to stay in the military or not, stay in the military is usually has to do a lot with the spouse's employability. And so we work very hard on a state level to lower the barriers in terms of certifications for whether it be nurses, teachers, all that sort of thing, that military spouses can move here and transition right into employment. And at least for a period of time, not have to, you know, take recertification tests and things like that. And then recently, just this past week, we were named only the third military spouse employment empowerment zone.
Right.
In other words, reflecting the support that we give to military spouses. And the only other cities in America that have it are Tampa and San Antonio. And trust me, when we're talking to the Army or the Air Force about, you know, attracting new presence here, retaining presence here, we're going to talk about the support that we give to military spouses.
And that's the one thing with our community, even with all of this, Mayor, is you see in this community, and we know it's not the same across every city and town across the country, but with five military installations here, when something here in our community rallies, don't they?
They really do. I remember a couple years ago when we were going through a BRAC, and the Army sent out a group of officers to hold public hearings, and I was I was the Attorney General at the time, was a very small part of a presentation. But, you know, we rallied state-level individuals. The governor was there. I, as the Attorney General, was there. We had Club 30 or the the group of executives throughout the state that supports our military presence in Colorado throughout the state. We had incredible array of support from the local community there. And I mean, we put on a couple of hour hearing, and it was pretty impressive.
I went, and I think if I remember, there was standing room only, and it was pouring out into the halls, wasn't it? And on the stairs, and
You're exactly right.
Okay, we got to take a quick news break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about veterans in our community. Like Mayor Southers just said, 30% of those that have been here return, 98,000 veterans live here, the support for them, and more with Mayor John Southers on The Extra on KRDO News Radio. And welcome back for the last day of USAA Military Week. And joining us is Mayor John Southers. And we've been talking about the history of military in our community, how important it is to our economy. And the thing with the military, Mayor, is, and I know Colorado Springs is trying to become this cybersecurity hub, right, of North America. And does the military bring a lot of the latest technology to our community, which I'm sure helps us in so many different levels?
Yeah, the military helps us be a leader in emerging technologies. I mean, when you think about it, we've got a great deal of aerospace industry here. So much of that is military contract related. We are hell-bent, if you will, on becoming one of three major cybersecurity hubs in the country. We think right now we have the fifth most cybersecurity jobs in America, and we think we can be, along with Washington, D.C. and Silicon Valley, one of the three major cybersecurity hubs. Well, a lot of that, think about, we've got well over 100 cybersecurity companies in Colorado Springs, and the majority of those are either totally devoted to military or have a military component to them. And so, for example, the Air Force Academy is a leader in the Air Force exploration of the cyber world. UCCS, we had someone emailed about the relationship between the Army Reserve Cyber Initiative and UCCS, and they have created a relationship there. And as we're developing the National Cybersecurity Center here in Colorado Springs, we hope to really enhance these military-related relationships. We think, as I say, we're already, it's a major part of our economy. As I've said on other times I've been in this program, Renee, right now, the median salary of a posted job opening in Colorado Springs is $70,400. That has gone up tremendously in the last several years, and it's because of the types of job openings we have. Unfortunately, we got 1,300 registered nurse openings.
Wow.
And that's before, you know, Children's Hospital comes online and some major expansions of UC Health and Penrose St. Francis. But we've got about 850 openings for software engineers, similar amounts for system engineers, and cybersecurity. And these are high-paying jobs. And we are very intent on ensuring that that's a big part of the future of our community, and the military is a big part of that. There's just no question.
And I'm sure, Mayor, and of course, we just had the Military Veterans Employment Expo last week, and I know that Pikes Peak Workforce Center works very closely with veterans, and I know there's probably, I'm sure, especially with all these openings and the skills, right, the skills that our military members have is to try and keep them here, I would imagine, to translate those skills into some of these open positions, because they have tremendous skills.
That's exactly right, and at the the campus we have at the Catalyst campus down at the railroad station, they actually have a training program for transitioning soldiers to move into some of these high-tech areas, including cybersecurity. So we work very, very hard on making sure there's a good employment picture for our soldiers transitioning out of the both the Army, Air Force.
And I know, Mayor, we have a lot to talk on, but you know how fast the show goes. And I do want to touch on veterans because I know you are extremely passionate about this subject. As we were talking about, 30% of military members that were once stationed here retire here, 30%. And you were saying that's about 98,000 veterans that are here,
That's retired veterans.
But sometimes, sadly, some of those veterans, for whatever circumstance, become homeless. And we just had Rocky Mountain Human Services in yesterday and the Crawford House. And the point in time shows it's still about the same number from last year of homeless veterans. But I know, and I know, Mayor, this is something you were very passionate about and helping those that served our country get back on their feet and back in homes.
Yes, and it's something we've been working very hard on. I joined the mayor's effort to end veterans homelessness. And we have made a progress, and a couple years ago I thought we were very, very close.
Yeah.
But frankly, the burgeoning economy, believe it or not, has hurt us a little bit. Let me explain that.
Okay.
We can put a voucher today. Any military or any homeless veteran that comes seeking services, whether they walk into the rescue mission, the Salvation Army, whether they walk into the Mount Carmel Center for Excellence, any place, we can hand them a voucher.
To help them get a place to live.
Exactly.
Okay.
The problem is that voucher in the current environment may not be enough to get them a place to rent.
Okay.
I can't remember exactly what the dollar value is per month, but in the last several years, if rents have gone up, and there's plenty of people out there willing to pay market rate rents, it's become harder and harder to place these veterans with these vouchers. I actually have met with the major apartment owners through the Southern Colorado Apartment Association.
Yeah.
And asked them, please, to help us in this effort. And, you know, save a couple of apartments in your inventory to offer to veterans with homeless that are homeless. A couple of other things we've done, and we can now say to the landlord that this veteran will have a caseworker, if you will, who will liaison with the landlord and make sure if there's any behavior issues or things like that, help resolve them. One of the things that I'm exploring right now is going to companies in Colorado Springs that have a big military connection and asking for them to contribute to a fund where we would be able to say to landlords, we'll actually, if you house a veteran, and a homeless veteran, and you know they leave and there's damage that's unaccounted for or something, we'll have a fund that will make you whole.
Okay.
To further incentivize landlords to do it. As I say, we're working very hard. One of the things that I think needs to happen is these vouchers need to get a little more valuable and be a little more attractive to landlords. But we're working very hard on this. Basically, we want to be able to house every single veteran that wants to be housed.
Well, and haven't you even almost, Mayor, assembled a team?
Oh, yes.
I mean, just to focus on veteran stuff and getting them housed and making sure they're taken care of in our community.
Andy Phelps from the city homeless outreach coordinator, that's a big, big part of his job. And, of course, he works with the continuum of care, which is all the nonprofit agencies related to homelessness, to make sure that we are doing as much as we can, not only to shelter and house our veterans, but make sure they're provided mental health services, substance abuse services, and everything else.
Okay, Mayor, we're going to take another quick break, and there are some big dedications happening this weekend.
There are.
And you are going to be at them, and one of them is the Pikes Peak National Cemetery. Huge dedication happening today. We'll talk about that and a memorial that is being dedicated this weekend for Medal of Honor recipients. And we will have more with Mayor Southers next on The Extra on KRDO News Radio. And welcome back to The Extra. It's our last day of USAA Military Week. Always like doing a Military Week every year to honor our military, their families, and veterans. And joining us is Mayor John Southers, and we've been talking all things military today, how important military is to our community, and remembering our military is extremely important here as well, Mayor. And in fact, some very big and important dedications happening this weekend in our area. And today we start with the dedication of the Pikes Peak National Cemetery. I mean, this has been in the works for decades, hasn't it?
It really has, and it's long overdue. You know, we talked about the fact we have 98,000 veterans in Colorado Springs. You know, proportionally, I'm sure it's the highest concentration of veterans in the state. And yet, we didn't have our own veterans cemetery. And so today, that's finally going to come to fruition. A 374-acre Department of Veterans Affairs National Cemetery in the southeast portion of Colorado Springs. It's basically between Bradley and Drennan Roads. Mm-hmm. It's on Drennan. At 11 o'clock today, we're going to have the dedication. This will be the third veterans cemetery in Colorado to go with Fort Logan and Fort Lyon. And I think everybody thinks it's long overdue.
Yeah.
Well, they think they'll begin burials there in October. And my guess is it will be heavily, heavily used because veterans, I think, have a sense that, if possible, they'd like to be buried in a veteran cemetery.
And it seems to me, Mayor, and of course in the decades of planning this together where veterans came together, said this needs to happen, and then going up, of course, to the federal level, it seemed like there had to be, I don't want to say encouraging, but pushing, didn't there, kind of to bring it here.
Oh, yeah. Well,
Colorado.
I know Congressman Lanborn's been working on this his whole time in Congress, and it actually predates him. I remember Congressman Heffley talking about how necessary. So I think all that pushing has finally come to fruition, and I'm positive that the Department of Veterans Affairs, as they analyzed where they should locate Veterans Cemetery, I can't imagine anybody coming up higher on the list than Colorado Springs.
Right.
So this is really a step in the right direction.
And, of course, you'll be there for the dedication. Again.
I will.
Are you speaking today?
I am not. I think there'll be a lot of federales there.
Yeah, yeah. But you, I'm imagine, are you speaking at this other dedication this weekend? This
I
is
am.
A huge dedication
on,
this weekend.
On Sunday at 1 o'clock, we're dedicating and unveiling a new monument for Medal of Honor recipients from El Paso County. And that's at Memorial Park. And this is somewhat overdue also.
Yeah.
El Paso County's had three Medal of Honor winners. Jesse Funk in World War I, and let me just tell you what these folks have done. He earned his medal in France during World War I, where he braved enemy fire to save the lives of two wounded officers.
Wow.
Another individual from World War II, Floyd Lindstrom, is being honored. He earned his in Italy during World War II for charging a German machine gun position with a pistol before seizing the weapon and turning it on the enemy.
With a pistol?
Right. He overtook a machine gun position and turned the machine guns on the enemy.
That's incredible.
And then finally, Air Force Lieutenant Colonel Gerald Young earned his Medal of Honor as a captain in Vietnam after his helicopter was shot down. He spent the next 17 hours evading the enemy and keeping a wounded comrade alive before they were both rescued. So this monument is going to be dedicated and unveiled at 1 p.m. on Sunday.
And again, that's at Memorial Park?
That's correct.
And anybody can, of course, come to that dedication?
Yes, yeah. Open to the public.
That's perfect. And, of course, as we're heading into Memorial Day weekend, remembering those that have paid the ultimate sacrifice, Mayor, again, just kind of your final thoughts this weekend going into Memorial Day weekend.
As we've said here, and I hope we've made it very clear how strongly I believe that the military in Colorado Springs have a symbiotic relationship that goes back many decades and I hope will continue far, far, far into the future, indefinitely. It's part of who we are. And honoring our veterans and honoring our active duty military is something that we ought to be doing all the time. The Memorial Day weekend is a special time to particularly honor those that have made the ultimate sacrifice and given their life. I was out at visiting my parents' grave at the cemetery yesterday, and they were out putting out the flags for Memorial Day, and that's always a very touching scene. So I ask all Colorado Springs residents and all El Paso County and Pikes Peak Region residents, spend a few minutes this weekend thinking about the price that people have paid for their freedom, because it's something that we need to do in a community that is so closely attached to our United States military.
Not just about the 3-day weekend and the barbecues, right?
That's right.
That's right. Mayor John Southers, always great to have you come
on the
show. Thank you so much. And we'll get you scheduled for next month as well. And then don't forget, coming up Monday on KRDO News Radio, special programming all morning to honor our veterans and for Memorial Day, starting at 5 a.m. And that goes all the way until 10 a.m. That's coming up Monday on KRDO News Radio.